Imperial Leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Britain has withstood the blitzkrieg, and in the midst of great affairs, in the midst of his gigantic task of leading an empire to victory, Winston Churchill turns his thoughts occasionally to his own family. He talks to his son, Randolph.
Can you spare me a few minutes, Randolph?
Why, yes, sir, of course.
When I was a young subaltern like you, Randolph, my mother was most anxious that I should go into politics. But I wanted some adventures first, so I decided to stick to the army.
Yes, sir, I've heard about that.
Things are different in these days. A man can be a member of parliament and a soldier, too. In fact, if he's of military age, a member should be a soldier.
What's all this leading up to, Father?
In 1899, when I did try politics for the first time, I was badly defeated. That was at Oldham.
I can beat that record. I've been defeated 3 times already.
Yes, yes, it doesn't do you any harm to have a few failures. Things that come too easily are seldom appreciated.
Oh, I'm not downhearted, Father. When all this business is over, and if I'm still alive, I'll have another shot at it, never fear.
It may not be necessary to wait until then, Randolph.
No?
Moring, the member for Preston in Lancashire, is dead. In ordinary circumstances, there would have been a by-election. But as all parties have agreed on a political truce, that won't be necessary.
You want to put me up for it?
Yes. Moring was a Conservative, so according to the agreement reached between the parties, if the Conservative Party puts up a candidate, he'll be elected unopposed.
Seeing that I've been rejected 3 times, that almost seems like getting in under false pretenses.
Everyone's in the same boat, Randolph. If you don't accept it, someone else will. After all, the seat will only be held in trust for the duration. After that, you'll have to fight to hold it.
You think the party will nominate me?
I know they will. Of course, some of them will growl in their beards about family politics. But they won't make any trouble. What do you say?
Well, Father, I'd rather have won a seat on my merits, but if you think it's the right thing to do...
You'll have to keep the seat on your merits, which amounts to the same thing. You'll accept, then?
Yes, Father. I'll accept. Thank you.
Another Churchill in the house, eh? It's quite an occasion. And who knows? This may be the political birth of a future Prime Minister. Come on, let's drink to it. What memories this brings back. When I was returned for Oldham, my mother was by my side. How proud she was. Ah, well, they were great old days.
It is with the greatest pleasure that I make this formal declaration of the poll for the electorate of Preston. Today is something of an historic occasion, marking as it does the entry into the House of Commons of a young man who bears a most distinguished name. I can only express the hope and my personal conviction that he will adorn that historic institution in the same distinguished manner as those who have gone before him. I now declare Randolph Frederick Edward Churchill duly elected as member of the House of Commons for Preston.
Mr. Returning Officer, ladies and gentlemen, this is a proud moment in my life. We are passing through a period of storm and stress. And although today the skies loom darkly above us, the future holds a glorious promise of liberty, freedom, and prosperity for us all. As for me, I can imagine no more attractive future for a young Briton than to serve the good people of Preston as the guardian of their rights and privileges in the Commons. I cannot promise to walk worthily in the footsteps of my father.
You're all right, Randolph.
But fortified and exalted by his example, I shall strive to uphold the dignity of my office and fulfill the trust you have placed in me. I thank you.
Great Bill, come on in, youngster! Hip, hip!
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
And one for Winnie himself! Hip, hip!
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Come on, all together!
Let's go.
honorable member for Preston.
Churchill the second.
No, Churchill the third.
A tip off the old block.
Bravo. Congratulations, Winston.
You must be very proud, old man.
Congratulations, Mr. the Prime Minister.
Thank you.
Order, order.
Mr. Speaker. Honorable member.
So, Winston, I have sent in my resignation as leader of the Conservative Party. My health will not permit me to carry on any longer.
I regret this very much, Neville. The party has never had a better leader, even though the times made your task so terribly difficult.
I've always done my best. But there comes a time in every man's life when he feels he must hand over to another. I should like to know, Winston, when I go, that my successor is the man I should choose myself.
Well, that's up to the party, Neville.
No, Winston. It's up to you.
Well, I think the party may prefer another. Beaverbrook, perhaps. As you know, Neville, there are many who cannot see eye to eye with me.
I could have said the same, but the majority were loyal. And today there isn't one man who would dare oppose you. I can give you my personal assurance that if you will stand, you will be unanimously elected to the leadership of the party.
Gentlemen, one name has been submitted to you as candidate for the leadership of your party. That name is one whose fame is ringing throughout the world. It is the name of Winston Churchill. All in favor?
Aye!
Again? Then I declare Mr. Winston Churchill unanimously elected as leader of the Conservative Party of Great Britain.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, it is not without emotion that I stand here today in the place where my father stood more than half a century ago. All my life, I have set out to pursue his aims and to vindicate his memory. Today, I feel that my task has been fulfilled. But a greater task remains. Written today stands in greater peril than she has ever stood before. And I have been entrusted with the duty of leading her through the darkness of a terrible war to the blinding light of victory. To fulfill that task, I need the help of every man and every woman in this country. With some of you, I have not always agreed. Many of you have felt that I have never been a true conservative. But at all times, according to my lights, and throughout the changing scenes through which we are all hurried, I have always faithfully served two public causes which I think stand supreme: maintenance of the enduring greatness of Britain and her empire, and the historical continuity of our island life. With your help and the blessing of God, those causes will be triumphant.
It's strange, Winston, but you seem to be more thrilled over your election as leader of the party than you were when you became Prime Minister.
Well, I wouldn't quite say that, my dear. But this thing has a particular significance for me. You see, my father was once the leader of the house, and I know how bitterly he felt it when circumstances caused his downfall. I vowed then that one day I should vindicate his memory. If he were alive today, he'd be a very proud man.
And Randolph, did they give him a good reception?
Tremendous, Mother. I've never known anything like it. And Father just stood there as cool as a cucumber.
My appearance belied my true feelings then. For inwardly, I was greatly stirred. The odd thing is that I didn't feel the jubilation I expected to feel. It was a solemn moment, as though the spirits of the dead were present as witnesses. Perhaps they were. It was like standing in the shadows of yesterday. Yesterday, when I made my first speech in the Commons. My first speech. And now, another Churchill stands on the threshold of his career. But the difference, then we were fighting the Boers. And how little that battle seems now. Today, Randolph enters the house when we face the greatest crisis of all time. It is an omen, perhaps. A good omen. A new leader, born in times of stress, will help to lead the young men of today to a great new world of democracy.
Through periods of adversity and of success, in times of crisis and of peace, Winston Churchill has maintained always his indomitable spirit, the spirit that leads him on to victory as it leads an empire towards the great days of tomorrow, when the curse which now overhangs Europe will be removed from our age.